chair.
Am I the chair?
Yes, you are.
Okay, I will call this meeting to order. Open it up to public comment. Anyone that wishes to speak on items not agendized, please do so now or forever hold your peace.
The only thing I have is that JPA2 did approve the phase one office design for the new agency office. And they also directed me to make a proposal to JPA1 to consider. So I'm working on that proposal so you can see it at the next JPA1 meeting. The loan amount that JPA2 currently needs is $655,000 and change. JPA1 has plenty of money
to do that.
To do that.
Mm-hmm. If you get better return, then
Better, yeah, and it would be.
I forgot what the interest rate was you were talking about.
2%. Right now we're getting close to zero, so.
Well, I mean, they charged JPA 2, it was going to be 2.
Yes,
yeah,
they were
going to
charge JPA 2, 2%, and right now JPA 1 is getting close to zero.
Win-win.
I think it's 0.25%.
It's a win-win for everybody.
And it's a very safe investment, so I do have to talk with the county treasurer and the advisory board for the county treasurer. So I'm working through some of that process. So once I get through all that, I'll bring a proposal to this board.
Sounds good. Seeing no other public comment, we'll move on to item 3, administrative services agreement.
Okay, and we typically we have the minutes and the warrants first on the agenda. But as you'll see, the budget depends on this item being approved. So I needed to have it before the budget. As a result of the new landfill and MRF operations agreement, we were able to fund all of the funding deficit for JPA1 moving forward. So this next fiscal year will be the first year that JPA1 will not run in the red for years. So JPA2 will fund all personnel expenses, administrative costs, the CalRecycle methane gas loan costs that JPA1 previously funded, and AB939 program related costs, as well as household hazardous waste facility costs. So there's really no reason to shuffle money back and forth between the agency. And this agreement basically resolves that and allows me to stop shuffling money back and forth. Just to make sure the board's clear, JPA1 will continue to reimburse JPA2 for grant-funded personnel expenses.
But you want to shuffle the money?
So that shuffle will still happen.
Oh, that one shuffle will still happen, mm-hmm. Okay.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. The cap of the $15,000 that paying the county, that gets reviewed annually or? Page 15, okay, yes.
So that you can see the funding mechanism or the calculation. It's the county is entitled, it's on section D.
Right.
It's adjusted each fiscal year and it's compounded by a percentage equal to the percentage change in the average cost of salary and benefits for job classes within the Tehama County Auditor's Office.
Okay.
For those that are conducting JPA work.
Okay.
And so I know it's a mouthful.
Yeah, who does that? You?
Yeah, so I review it each year. And what we've really been able to do over the years is before, in the past, we had a higher level staff person do the work, and it was really unnecessary for that higher level staff person to be completing the work at the auditor's office. And so the auditor's office approached me and said, you know, if we moved, you know, our personnel assignments around, would you be open to having a different individual perform that work? Because it's really a lower level job. And so that happened. And so as a result, we've been actually paying less than the $15,004 because it's based on the actual classifications.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Leroy's doing that with a number of people now.
Yeah, he's,
agencies,
yeah
so.
He's doing it for social services, the ag department.
Just picked up the fairgrounds.
The fairgrounds, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And also relate the money, the $38,000 for personnel expenses,
mm-hmm.
That gets adjusted up and down annually as well. or the JPA two pays for all personnel expenses less the.
Yes, so that is adjusted every year based on personnel costs.
And you do that, or the same deal as the other?
Yes, we do that same.
You do that, okay.
Yeah, so actually the auditor's office does the calculation and I review and approve it.
Okay. I was just curious, first time, if the dollars were gonna be, if you thought they were gonna be good.
The dollars for.
If you thought the 30,000 and the 15,000 was gonna be.
Yeah, so you'll see at the next JPA two full board meeting, the 38,000 per month that JPA two is receiving is well within our means.
Okay.
We actually have the budget to hire a second full-time recycling coordinator with the 38,000 per year, which will help out which will help out this agency significantly.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So with that item, then we need a motion to approve or the agreement.
I believe
that's what we need.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'll make that motion.
Second that.
A motion and a second to approve the administrative services agreement. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Now we'll go into regular items and minutes. Minutes down on page 10 of your packet.
So under what we accept the minutes.
A motion to accept the minutes.
I'll second that.
A motion and a second to accept the minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye.
I'll have to abstain because I was absent, so.
Okay. Still passes with.
Yep.
So, and then next item, the approval of the warrant register. Anything out of the ordinary, Christina?
Let's see, so we're on page 15 of your agenda packet. The only thing that I will say, let's see, everything's pretty typical. We had a very, the waste tire products item on May 2nd, we had a very successful tire collection event whereby we collected 5,273 tires at $1.50 each. I will say that that's a considerable deal that we get from waste tire products. I did a review. And Butte County is paying $3 per tire.
Ooh. Yeah, we can get it for half.
Well, Will's really good to work with.
Yeah, so that's an extremely good deal that we're getting. And they also do all of the work. I mean, my staff do all the organization and the coordination of the event. And they, you know, have the customer sign in as they come in. But Waste Tire Products employees actually load all the tires into the trucks and do all the man labor, so it is really appreciated. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
There's a $12,250 charge. That's for our temporary household hazardous waste collection event from Eco Solutions for managing the event. And then there's also a $9,254 charge, and that's for the truck displays. And both of those expenses are reimbursed by the HD20 grant.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is pretty standard.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll move approval.
Second.
Got a motion and a second on the warrant register. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries. Item C, the budget, starting on page 18.
Oh, we have the non-grant funded warrants on page 17.
Yep.
Did I miss something?
Hey, it's right at the very bottom of your agenda,
yeah.
Page 16.
Page 16, sorry.
Oh, non-grant funded.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I have a question.
Sure.
I'm just curious, the last item, Gregory Einhorn, I just didn't quite understand what it was he did.
The administrative service agreement, he's our legal counsel.
Really?
Uh-huh, and he reviewed the agreement that we approved to make sure that there was nothing that would be to the detriment of JPA 1.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'll move approval.
Mm-hmm. Second.
We have a motion and second on item B2. Mm-hmm. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye, and motion carries. Now we'll go to the budget. You're up, your turn.
Okay. So I'll move you along to page 20 of your agenda packet to review. And unless you'd like me to talk about every single item, I just plan on discussing the items in bold under the proposed budget and give you a brief update. Okay. So professional special services under expenses. Includes agency transfer costs to JPA 2. These are the ones that will no longer occur going forward. JPA 1 will no longer incur these transfer costs as of March 1. I propose to adjust the budget based on this, no longer needing to occur. If not, JPA 1 will continue to pay JPA 2. Well, not based on the agreement, but the budget would reflect it, that we would pay those funds, and we no longer will pay those funds based on the board approving the administrative services agreement. So the budget does need to reflect the actual arrangement. And then I do need to let you know that the board did approve the warrants to transfer the funds in fiscal year 12-13, but the auditor's office didn't actually transfer the funds, and it was caught. And so it includes $16,228.70 in transfer costs from fiscal year 12-13. So our actual costs this year are much less, but due to an error on their part that was caught, they had a new employee. They've had a lot of turnover there, actually, but it was caught. That does need to be paid and transferred to JPA 1. This being said, due to minimal legal expenses, the budget is proposed to be reduced by $12,000 to $55,000.
Okay, I had a question on that. I just need help understanding the spread, such a big spread, is related to all the things you just said.
Yes.
Because, okay, I was having a hard time understanding.
It actually would have been even a larger spread, and actually we would have been able to run close to where revenues would match expenses for the year, but because of this goof by the auditor's office, we have $16,000 in more expenses this year than we actually incurred. I always budget for a certain amount of legal costs, because if we have something come up, if we get sued, we need to have the budget there to support that. If we don't get sued at the end of on the third quarter budget end date, I usually traditionally knock that budget down, because we're not incurring those expenses, and it's likely that or unlikely that we will incur them by third quarter budget update. But I do have to plan for a certain amount of legal expenses. Publication and legal expenses were dropped down to $500. Primarily because JPA 2 will be covering those legal notice costs. And then special departmental costs were dropped down just a minor amount by $3,334. And that's due to the savings in paint disposal costs that we're no longer paying. And going forward, JPA 1 won't incur those costs, nor will they receive the paint care funds. So just to be clear, that
just to be a wash.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it'll be a wash. And then moving down to solid waste fees is actually the adjustment that JPA 1 will pay to JPA solid waste fees. Yes. It represents 8 months of $89.39 fee payments. But with the new agreement, JP One's no longer receiving that $89.39 fee payment from Waste Connections, so the budget has been reduced accordingly. Everything else as of April 30th, 2014 looks very typical. We're doing well. We always spend very conservatively in both agencies. We're very good at budgeting and conserving and using the resources that we have and using grants where necessary.
Very good. Is that an item, action item?
Yes, I recommend the approval of the proposed revised budget as presented.
So moved.
I'll second that.
Moved and seconded for the revised budget under item C1, third quarter budget update. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carried. And item C2, final recommendation budget. Mm-hmm. That'll be on page 21.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll walk you through most of this budget. So as you can see that we're anticipating an interest rate, looking at revenue down at the bottom under interest income, we're anticipating interest rates between 0 and 0.5%. Again, this next fiscal year, this year we'll just be able to make the $24,000 interest income that I budgeted for this fiscal year. Just to highlight, on the same fund balance back in 06-07, we received $243,000 in interest income. And I like to repeat that all of the time so the board realizes how big hit it was to this agency when it took a hit. We used to be able to completely fund this agency through interest income, mm-hmm. and it's just no longer the case at all. Mm-hmm. So I anticipate that we will receive between 0 and 0.5%. And that's why, Jim, you didn't hear the beginning of the meeting, but that's why I do recommend that the board at least consider the proposal by JPA to lend a portion of its unreserved fund balance to JPA to construct its new agency office. It's proposed at a 2.0 interest rate, which is much higher than what JPA 1 is currently receiving. And I'll bring that proposal at a later time. Solid waste fees are budgeted at zero for income, as JPA 2 will be funding all AB 939 implementation costs as a result of the new agreement. The airspace consumption fee, the new contract, results in Waste Connections having to pay JPA 1 $1 for airspace consumed in phase 1 and $3 for airspace consumed in phase 2 to fund the closure and post-closure costs of those individual landfills. And so we anticipate 54,416 cubic yards of airspace to be used this next fiscal year. So that's budgeted accordingly to be received. Moving on to expenses. The annual insurance premiums are estimated to remain the same at $9,600. I haven't received any inclination that they would increase. Professional special services includes agency transfer costs to JPA 2 for personnel and office expenses that will no longer occur. So you see a big change there from $67,000 to $7,500. Professional special services is basically budgeted at $7,500 for legal expenses now for this agency. And we usually don't come close to that unless something comes up where we have a lawsuit, and we haven't had anything of that nature since 2006. Audit services fees will be $4,500. This is the last year that Don Reynolds is in contract to provide audit services. So I'll need direction at some point whether to retain him or go out to bid once again, but this is his third year.
And what services does he do?
He provides audit services, the independent audit, and he does both JPA 1 and JPA 2. When we went out to bid, he came in, and I was very concerned initially at the cost he proposed, because it was so much lower than what we were currently paying. I mean, to the tune of $3,000 or $4,000, like half the cost.
Are you kidding?
And I was very concerned about the quality of work. And so when we did our interviews with him, we interviewed him quite closely to make sure that he was going to provide the services that we wanted and needed. And he has. He's doing a nice job. He's very in-depth. He asks probably more questions than our previous auditors. And I do appreciate that, because that's what their job is to do.
He's very thorough.
Oh, he does the City of Cornings as well, doesn't he? Yeah. Special departmental expenses are basically for soil movement costs and for closure project management costs. And I estimate $20,000 for phase one landfill closure project management costs for this next fiscal year. Because we do have to, and you'll see it later on in your agenda packet, we do have to finalize the closure plan for the phase one landfill.
Back by what, June?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's working on it now. And that is contributions to other governmental agencies. Included the reimbursement for JPA 2, to JPA 2 for the annual methane gas loan, because they held the loan on this agency's behalf. We don't need to shuffle that money back and forth any longer, so that's budgeted at zero. So you can see that we have a contingency of $34,316 at the end of the fiscal year. So I recommend the board approve the proposed budget for fiscal year 14-15.
So moved.
Second.
A motion and a second for approval of the 14-15 budget. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carries.
And this is the biggest success that this agency has been able to do in years.
Good.
Regular landfill, item one, annual appointment of director at large.
So we received one application for the annual appointment of the director at large. We did advertise the vacancy on January 9th, 11th, and 15th. We received one application from Ms. Tony Parkins, and I wholeheartedly recommend the board approve and appoint and elect Tony Parkins.
I'm so sorry, I didn't fill that out very well. That was like,
man. Oh, we do it every year, so.
It's like, I don't know what to say.
I'll entertain a motion.
So moved. Second.
Moved and seconded to elect director at large position. All in favor?
Aye.
For the same page.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
One more time, that's it.
I don't want to hear that.
I've got plans to move on.
I know. I understand.
Non-water collective action cost estimate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's page 24 of your agenda packet. As part of revised regulations for long-term post-closure maintenance and corrective action cost estimates that were approved by CalRecycle in 2010, they require at the next five-year permit review, so that's why we haven't come upon it yet, because at the time when these regulations were passed, we just conducted our last five-year review in 2009. So we got a little bit lucky that we could wait some time before we had to do our non-water corrective action cost estimate. But now the time has come where we have to comply with this regulation and do the non-water corrective action cost estimate. And so you might wonder what that is. And to give you the short and sweet of it, It must evaluate corrective action for a known or reasonably foreseeable non-water release. So a non-water release would be an earthquake, fire, flood, or tsunami, and we're talking about damage to the final cover of the landfill due to these non-water events.
Oh, okay.
Prior regulations only required corrective action cost estimates for reasonably foreseeable water releases, so basically contamination to groundwater. And we also have to have, as part of this regulation, a third-party engineer evaluate the cost estimate. That's why you're seeing RMC Geosciences being proposed to provide those services rather than Lawrence and Associates that does all of our engineering work for our landfill. RMC does do some groundwater monitoring, so they do have experience with the landfill, and they do have an experience working with Lawrence and Associates, so I do recommend that the board approve the proposal to provide a non-water corrective action cost estimate in an amount not to exceed $5,000.
So moved.
Mm-hmm.
Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carried.
So I'll bring the results of that cost estimate back to the board. It could affect our closure cost, our post-closure cost estimate.
So are we going to, down the road, once we get the assessment on this, have to set money aside, like, for example, the possibility of an earthquake at a certain level that we have to set money aside to compensate for that?
In our situation, it's actually pretty unlikely that the non-water corrective action cost estimate would come in higher than the water release estimate, but we'll have to see what the results say. So we already have to set money aside. We may have to, depending on the results of the estimate, we may have to set aside some more. I apologize, maybe that's my cell phone.
Your phone?
Yeah.
Well, I'll take this brief interlude to apologize for being late. For whatever reason, it locked in my brain. The office was still out there, so I went ripping down.
Oh, did you?
Oh, well.
It's a nice drive, actually.
Yeah.
But the gate's locked.
Yeah, you're like, how am I supposed to get to this meeting?
Then just to top it off, I wheel over there across the restaurant and over there, Greenways. Yeah, my good place. And no, across the street.
Oh,
you guys need a better sign. Greenways got a great sign. We need a sign.
Yeah, well, we're here temporarily, so. Mm-hmm. We have the window signs, but yeah, they aren't all encompassing.
Well, trained investigator that I am, I looked up the address here on the thing. There it is, that's the street number.
Good job.
And I understand we're getting the restaurant is moving downstairs.
They are, yeah. We had, I'll tell you when we're done with the meeting, we had an interesting experience yesterday with one of the architects.
No. Oh.
Okay. So,
yes, we have to set money aside no matter what.
Okay.
We may have to, depending on the results, we may have to set a bit more aside. But in creating the $1 and $3 per cubic yard assessment, I anticipated some new regulations and some new expenses. So we should be okay, is what I'm trying to say.
And if not, then we'll have to go back to our tipping fee.
Exactly. And it's allowed for in the contract,
right,
that the contractor then has the ability to raise the tipping fee to adjust for that so that they don't take a hit because it wouldn't be fair to them.
Right. Okay, very good. Item 3, Senate Bill 1014.
Okay, so do you have the long and short of it? Based on our legislative guidance policy that I've attached on page 30, oh, did I not include it?
No, it's there. It's on page 30.
I just copied and pasted the portion of it that includes the policy. So beginning on page 28 and 29, it summarizes what I'm authorized to send letters of support and opposition for. Senate Bill 1014, as originally proposed, would require manufacturers that sell pharmaceuticals to develop and fund a take-back program for pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
And it falls within number one of the support category, product stewardship and increased manufacturer responsibility with respect to materials that are difficult to recycle and are difficult to manage and are classified as hazardous and or banned from landfills. So I went ahead and sent the letter of support. The bill was gutted and amended into a bill that just requires a model, what would constitute a model program that was funded by local government be codified in regulation. So it's a completely different bill now.
Oh.
It's unfortunate. It had huge support. The bill's going to come back. It has so much support, and it's not just solid waste. It's, people concerned about teen access and drug abuse, and there's so many different elements of support for this bill that it will come back. It's just going to take some time. The pharmaceutical lobbyists have a lot of power.
And spend a lot of money.
And spend a lot of money lobbying. Mm-hmm. So, but based on the legislative guidance policy, I do have to bring the letter of supports or the letters that I do provide to the legislator back to this board to give final approval. And so I need to ask that you approve the letter of support as presented.
So.
Second.
Motion and a second on support of item three. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Motion carried. Item four, Senate Bill 2284 battery. Letter support.
Okay, this is another same kind of situation. Yeah. I have to bring it back to you after I send it. It follows number one under support under the legislative guidance policy. This bill was also gutted and amended, even though this is the thing that I really can't believe. It had industry support. So the manufacturers wanted the bill, and it was still gutted and amended into an unfunded CalRecycle grant program for $1.5 million to fund three pilot alkaline battery collection programs. I don't get it at all. This one just completely baffles me. but I did send a letter of support, and so I need your authorization that I did send it.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Moved and seconded on the support letter. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Are they ever going to be doing any kind of battery collection proposal for the e-cigarettes? Being as those have little batteries in,
yeah,
at least in the disposable ones.
Mm-hmm. Even as part of, if this bill would have passed, well, it would have
either this bill them. Or is, and do you know of anything being proposed?
There's nothing being proposed right now for that.
There's a lot of little batteries end up in the landfill.
There's a lot of little batteries, batteries that are, in toys in mm-hmm. kids' shoes. Those lights in kids' shoes.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
What makes the lights go on, duh?
Yeah, there's lots of little batteries.
All kinds of little batteries.
I would like to show you, because this is a really good visual, and you probably wonder why I have this here. But I figured out how many batteries per resident we're collecting per year. And so on a per resident basis, this is how many batteries we're collecting. And I think that's actually pretty good. So if you think of, there's 2.5 people per household, so about 2.5 times this is what we're actually collecting. There's a lot more out there, but we're doing a pretty good job compared to other communities.
I think you're a little slight there.
I was going to bring you a big old bag today, and I forgot.
Yeah.
On my 4-bedroom house, I've mm-hmm. got more
you go through
smoke
more
detectors
than
than what you've got there.
Okay. Oh. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes them twice a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of our goals is to increase this next year, so hopefully I'll be able to show you a bigger.
Yeah, really.
Mm-hmm. Back, but that is considerably more than this jurisdiction, so. And that's per person.
Okay. CalRecycle grant. Anything new there, just to accept it?
Yeah, so we already have the resolution for a 5-year. It authorizes the agency to submit household hazardous waste grants to CalRecycle on a continual basis, actually. It's not even a 5-year. But what I like to do is keep the board apprised of what we're applying for. And so we recently submitted a $340 grant to CalRecycle to fund both the improvement of the existing household hazardous waste facility and the development of a new program. And to give you a little bit more background, we would like to partner with Call to Recycle, and they have agreed to host collection locations in the city of Corning at retail stores and fund the collection of alkaline batteries. So I want to focus on the city of Corning because they can't take part in our curbside program, but we will have a couple other remote sites with, around the county for those residents that live in multifamily establishments that don't have recycling to use the retail collection program, as long as this grant's funded. So that's one item that we'd like to do. And then we'd like to do a media campaign for that new battery collection program, and the grant would fund the media campaign, which would include press releases, print media advertising in local newspapers, flyers, web page development, and billboard advertising. We have to repaint the HHW facilities, and we also need to conduct upgrades to the fire suppression system. So regardless of whether this grant is funded, GPA2 will be doing those upgrades. So it would be nice if we got the grant. And then last, we'd like to conduct a general household hazardous waste program multimedia outreach campaign to include the importance of proper household hazardous waste disposal at campgrounds. Because what we've learned is that a lot of hazardous waste gets disposed of at campgrounds because people just don't have a place to get rid of it. They finish using their propane cylinders, what do they do with it?
Yeah.
So doing a bit of outreach to our campsites, and an alternative to chemical cleaners campaign is also proposed. The agency does...
In regards to your the campsites, is that like Black Butte Dam?
We haven't identified the actual campsites. We just stated how many that we would outreach to.
The diversion dam. Mm-hmm. So we need to do outreach to U.S. Forest Service and Corps of Engineers to get those people on board.
Yes.
And I see where Shasta Trinity just advertised for a campground host.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we got the host involved.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Would be the avenue.
Yeah. And they're posting boards and... letting people know where, the biggest hurdle is people don't know where to take them or what to do with them. And so that's part of the information process.
Right. Well, it's the same in Corning with the batteries. Mm-hmm. And I still don't know why they can't do something. Why can't they collect the batteries and bring them to you or whatever?
Yeah.
I know they're separate, but.
Mm-hmm. They could. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that hard. So maybe we need to write a letter. Because that really upsets me. There's a whole town that those batteries are going in the landfill because that whole town, that collector doesn't do anything about it. It's wrong. It's always been wrong.
Luckily, and you can put the word out, look, most of the local hardware stores there are collecting alkaline batteries, and Corning Disposal at the recycling center is collecting batteries. But the curbside program is just so much more convenient.
Oh, yeah.
If you look at what the curbside program is, an anomaly statewide, it's not common at all.
Right.
And so if you look at statewide, how many batteries are collected per person, it's like one or two batteries per person.
Yeah.
And so because when things are difficult, the
people
trash can's right there.
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah.
So this being said, while I have high hopes for this grant, and we've competed very well competitively in the past, CalRecycle has decided to make this a random drawing. So it doesn't matter how well I do at writing the grant or how good our proposal is or, you know, how innovative our approach is, that's what we've really been able to succeed at. That doesn't matter anymore. And so I was a little disappointed because, you know, it just, to me, it begs just doing the minimum rather than trying to do more if you're just doing a random drawing. But it is what it is, so I'll let you know if the board's approved or if the grant is approved.
This is weird.
All righty. Item 20. I think, isn't it? Or are you done?
It is.
Item 7, outreach update.
Oh, this is Rachel, and she's been doing a lot.
First, I'm actually going to go back to item number 5 and talk to you about the 20th cycle household hazardous waste grant update. I don't know if you guys noticed when you came in, but we've been working pretty diligently on getting on these grant, on this grant, and especially developing our For Our Kids bus exhibit. Each exhibit includes, kind of gives them a hands-on learning experience on how the exhibit applies to their real life and gives them a lesson to take home and how they could possibly change what their actions are at home. Right now, there's also going to be a reuse craft bin that they get to make a reuse craft with while they're waiting to enter the bus, which is really exciting. I've made a few crafts myself and I find them really fun to make. Right now, our bus exhibits are Battery Pachinko, which is almost complete, we're very happy to say, where the students will have to be able to get the alkaline and batteries, or rechargeable batteries, to the correct recycling location, which alkaline will go into the orange battery bag, and the recycling, or the rechargeable, will go back to a store that sells recyclable or rechargeable batteries. The game of CFL Life, which is a two-person board game that's designed to show the players that each decision made along the CFL's life has different consequences or different, they can advance accordingly. The bag monster, which I know Christine has been diligently sewing bags to.
I did it in my spare time. At home.
But basically, it's a suit comprised of the average number of bags that the American uses in a year, which is 500 single-use plastic bags, and then the kids can put it on. Mm-hmm. Crawling through the landfill, which they'll be able to crawl through a wire cage that's been, have different kinds of trash attached to it, so they can see really what our landfill is comprised of and what your trash really is when it goes to the landfill. And the history of trash, which is that dresser out there, each drawer is supposed to, each drawer has a different era of trash in the U.S., and so when you open it, it's supposed to show you the different stages of trash through the last 100 years in our country. And the last one is the Household Hazardous Waste Hide and Seek, which is still kind of in development, but it will be a display teaching the kids where to find hazardous waste in their home and how to properly dispose of it and handle it. We've also held our temporary Household Hazardous Waste Collection event. It was on April 5th at Evergreen Middle School. It wasn't very well attended, but we did try to promote it as much as possible. And the truck displays for green waste, which you guys all have in your,
they look good.
They're on most of the trucks now. So, and they are promoting the proper disposal of batteries, fluorescent light bulbs, and household hazardous waste.
I like our little tree.
Hey, you guys approved that logo.
Yeah. So, if you have any questions about that item,
no.
Then I will move you on to our outreach update, the last item on our agenda. Since we last met, our agency coordinated with AB 109 work crews and cleaned up 35 tires, 6 mattresses, and 3.56 tons of waste from the corner of Ash and Monroe Street, which was an illegal dumping, I think, a homeless camp there. Agency staff have been conducting Smart Business Alliance outreach to businesses that already recycle and businesses that are not complying with the mandatory commercial recycling law. Right now, I'm working with quite a few now. I have 7 that are recycling and 2 that aren't, but it's gone up considerably in the last couple weeks. So we're very excited about that. In fact, the Comfort Inn just agreed to start recycling today. Yay!
Yeah.
That's
good.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing a great job at it, by the way.
It's very time consuming, but it's worthwhile. We also contributed waste reduction, recycling, and hazardous waste disposal information to the monthly Lake California POE newsletter, which is on 57 of your agenda packet, the Rancho Tehama newsletter. I also produced and distributed the Tehama County 4R's e-news blast, which is on page 58, and the Educators e-newsletter, which is on page 60.
Which one is that?
Which one?
And do you get into the bluffer? Have you got there yet?
Yeah, I haven't got there yet. We'll work on it next.
Next year?
Mm-hmm.
If the school's out as a
term,
but mm-hmm. you need to get in the bluffer. And I don't know what Corning High School's paper is.
They don't have one, right?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think they have one.
Well, I don't know if Catholic school.
Mercy?
The high school.
Oh.
Mercy? I don't know if they do.
I don't know if they have a school news to pay.
We can look into it. We'll look into all the high schools.
Yeah.
I know we actually advertise.
I think Evergreen's got one too.
Already in the bluffer for used oil and beverage containers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's so economical that it's to the point of ridiculousness almost, but. But we do it every year, and they do a great job, and the kids and do the announcements, and it works out.
As far as Evergreen goes, they do promote our events through their newsletter, which is really nice. Them helps get out to their parents.
Mr. Brad up there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brad doing a good job.
Mm-hmm.
We had a tire collection event on April 26th at the Rancho Tehama transfer station out at the landfill and at the Las Molinas transfer station. It was very successful. We collected 5,273 tires, which Christina mentioned. It's very busy. I was at the landfill site and there was a very long line. It was exciting. The 2004 National Drug Take Back Collection event was also on April 26th at the Tehama County Sheriff's Department, Red Bluff Community Center, and Corning Police Department. A total of 449 pounds of pharmaceutical drugs were collected. The Tehama County Sheriff's Department, Red Bluff Police Department, Corning Police Department, Tehama County Health Services Agency, this agency, and the DEA, which funds the event, partnered in this event. This agency submitted press releases to the Corning Observer and the Red Bluff Daily News promoting the event. That's all on page 61 of your agenda packet. The agency sponsored the Red Bluff Roundup Golf Tournament, promoting the Tehama County Recycled Market Development Zone to local business people. And I've been working with Deep Sky Marketing, developing marketing material to promote the Tehama County Recycled Market Development Zone. Actually, we just finalized the brochures, which are to print, but I've printed out a couple or a few for you guys to look at, which I think they turned out very well. And I think they did a fantastic job. We also have five different ad sizes that they are sending to us. Also, the agency contracted with Maureen Hart to develop and conduct several questionnaires and surveys designed to determine how agency staff can better market the TC-RMDZ to potential manufacturers using RMDZ funds.
And we just got the report yesterday, and she found out some really, really interesting things. So I'll make sure to report on that report at the next meeting.
Our agency promoted oil recycling and the correct disposal of household hazardous waste, batteries, and CFLs at Good Morning Red Bluff and Frontier Villages Conservation Day through the donation of oil drain containers, battery bags, and informational flyers. Agency staff continue to work with the Sacramento River Discovery Center to build a composting display area. We also, I wrote and submitted a press release to describing the Tehama County Red Bluff Landfill's mattress recycling program. That's on page 62.
I wanted to know on that picture
mm-hmm.
of those batteries, mattresses, were there a bunch of them behind them?
They went on for quite a while because they hadn't loaded them into the truck for a while. I think one of the truck was full.
That's really something.
It was amazing. What I was really excited about is that the CalRecycle and the Global Product Stewardship Council promoted that article on their Facebook pages. So it got our recycling program. Yeah, it like a lot of people got to see the success of our program. Agency staff coordinated large venue event recycling with at the Red Bank Road Campout on April 11th and April 13th, or 3 April 13th, and Lucero Olive Oil Spring Bloom Festival on May 10th. We also submitted a press release notating the new waste diversion programs. That's on page 63 out at the landfill, which was printed by the Corning Observer and the Red Life Daily News as well. We promoted composting and other waste diversion practices at the Sacramento River Discovery Center's Watershed Celebration on May 17th. And we will be attending the Frontier Village and Red Bluff Tama County Chamber of Commerce's Farmers Market promoting recycling, waste reduction, and correct disposal of and potential alternatives to household hazardous waste. So I think next Saturday will be our first weekend out there. On, I think we decided July 19th, we'll be having another prescription drug take back event, which is partially funded by our agency in St. Elizabeth's Community Hospital. It'll be in Los Molinos at Ampla Health in the parking lot. And so the Sheriff's Department, the Health Services Agency, and our agency, Ampla Health and St. Elizabeth's, will be partnering in the event, which will be between 8 and noon. Our next household hazardous waste collection events will be, well, this is in the past now. Mm-hmm. I think it'll be June 14th at the landfill. And we will continue to have our e-waste collection events in addition to accepting it every single day at the landfill, the last Saturday of every month. Any questions?
You've been busy.
I told her that she needed to brag. But she's been extremely busy and doing very well. Yeah. And she just finished her 6-month probation.
Yay.
So.
Very good.
Wow. Good for
good
you.
That went fast.
I know. When we only meet every other month, it's like,
yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Anything else that needs to come before this great body before we adjourn and we hear the story of the architecture? We will adjourn to hear the story.
Okay, turn off.
I got to bail out.
Turn off.